Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from His own dear Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. Our text for today is the first portion of the Gospel reading. Again, it says there, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. "And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen." Fellow redeemed in Christ, our language, English, is kind of weird. Think about this sentence. "I saw someone on the hill with a telescope." Well, that's a funny little sentence because it has two meanings. Well, I saw by means of a telescope that there was someone over there on the hill. Or it could mean there was someone on the hill with a telescope in his or her possession, and I saw that person over there. It's kind of weird how the same sentence can have two meanings. I was thinking of you know, giving you a good sock. That's another example, right? But I decided not to do, well, I guess I just did it, didn't I? Famous authors have often played around with words like this and used double meanings to make us think about things a little more closely. And today I want to do the same. I want us to think about two important things in the text today. So this morning we're going to consider the theme, "We place Jesus before all." And the gist of this theme was on John the Baptizer's mind as he stood at the end of an era in the history of his people, the Israelites. And the gist of this theme was on his mind when he pointed to Jesus and said, "There he is." And again, the gist of this theme was on his mind as he thought about the beginning of a new testimony about the Lord. And so this morning, I want us to think about those three parts and ask ourselves, do we place Jesus before all? In other words, do we put Jesus first in our lives? And do we put the good news about Jesus out there before everybody? As John thought about these questions there in the wilderness, he was surely aware that his people, the people of Israel, did not put the Messiah before all. It's very clear as you read the Old Testament and hear the history of the Israelites, that they repeatedly fell into idolatry. They repeatedly put themselves first and their own efforts, their own thoughts about God, their own ideas about who their God was and what he wants, even though God spoke to them. Instead of paying attention to what God told them about his plan of salvation, they were off coming up with their own trendy ideas. The Pharisees were signaling their virtue with little bells on their prayer shawls and their tithes and their focus on morality and charity, all good things, but they had lost sight of the fact that they were flawed beyond repair. That they were sons and daughters of Adam, just like everybody else. They had turned their attention not to the God who promised salvation, but to their own works, by which they attempted to prove their goodness before God. The Sadducees, another group among the Israelites, they discounted all those outdated, old-fashioned words of the Bible, and they paid their attention to their status in society. They were the aristocrats, generally. They paid attention to their bloodlines and their inheritances and so forth. The scribes, another group, they paid attention to the scrolls, to the letters on the scrolls, more than what they said, more than what God had revealed to his people. And the teachers of the law, another group, well, they paid attention to their legal systems and how they would tell people what is right and what is wrong. And they didn't pay any attention to God's promises. And here is John, who has to preach to them the truth. Think about that. He had to preach to them that they were whitewashed tombs, pretty on the outside, but inside full of death already. He had to preach to them the meaning of their own scriptures, the meaning of their history, the meaning of their sacrifices, and so on. And in that sense, the people of Israel, well, they did put the Messiah before all, but this is the other meaning. They did put him before all the world through their history, through their scriptures, through their sacrifices. They did put him before all the world. They presented a picture of God's law in their lives and its exacting severity. And they put a picture before all the world of the good news that God had preached to them with all its comforting certainty. Their history, their culture, their language, their literature, their worship, their temple, their sacrifices, all of that is chronicled for us in the Old Testament so that we can see the pictures of how truly deadly sin is, because otherwise we wouldn't know. How it takes life that can only be replaced by a substitute life so much greater than that of any man or woman that it can scarcely be imagined. That life had to be sacrificed unto death as a ransom payment. That's the picture that the Old Testament presents. And the Israelites, they didn't know their own role in all of this. But John proclaimed it here in the wilderness when he pointed at the Messiah, at Jesus, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me,' because he was before me." Think of what John is telling them there. First of all, he recognizes that he has no merit, no worthiness in himself. Even John recognizes that he falls short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, that he has no hope apart from this Lamb who has come to sacrifice himself. He has no hope apart from God's promise of mercy in Christ. And yet he has this God-given role of proclaiming the Messiah for all the world to see. How bittersweet that must have been for him at times. With his words and with his pointing finger, John brings to an end the role of the people of Israel in preparing the world for the Savior. They're forever God's chosen people, but they have now taken their place alongside the Gentiles who, like them, didn't put Jesus before all. They were sinners too. They were in need of a Savior too. John confessed, "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel." Now John had certainly heard what his family had told him. They were related. His mother was a close female relative of Mary, the mother of our Lord. He had known Jesus even from the womb, leapt with joy when he came into the presence of the unborn Jesus. But he doesn't point us to such private things, to his thoughts, to what he knew. He points us instead to Jesus' baptism. We heard about that last Sunday, that event, that objective fact, that the Spirit descended and remained on him. John points us to that revelation of God, that public revelation to all of Israel, that God's Messiah was here. So did Israel immediately begin to confess this public revelation of God's own Son to the world? No, they didn't. They needed to be introduced by the one God had sent to do the baptism. They needed to hear what Jesus himself had to say. They needed to hear in order to believe. And many did, but most in Israel would not. They would not believe. And to this day, they're still waiting, sadly, still waiting in vain for their Messiah, looking for the wrong thing, the wrong person, the wrong God. And so Israel as a whole did not put Jesus before all the world. That would have to wait until Pentecost Day, when the Spirit would come to rest upon those who heard and believed, first among the people of Israel and then among the Gentiles too. It would have to wait until those men chosen by Jesus were sent out as apostles to tell people the good news about what Jesus had done, that the spotless Lamb of God had offered himself as the sacrifice, that God himself in the flesh had given himself unto death for us. This was not a testimony of dim pictures about the future like the Old Testament people had. This was not prophecies waiting for a long time yet to be fulfilled. This new testimony was different because, as the scriptures say, in these last times, God has spoken to us through his Son. Think of that. This was not setting up one nation to inform all the others about salvation by their lives and their history. This new testimony that's now before all the nations, before all people, this testimony is the Savior himself. This is Jesus, the Son of God. This is the testimony that you have heard and that you have believed. This is the word of God that changed your hard heart and mine from one distracted by the idols of this world and the interesting thoughts and the attractive things of this world. He's changed that hard heart of ours from paying attention to those things to hearing and believing the God who loved us and who gave his own Son to save us, and not just us, but the whole world. Yet you and I must stand before God like John and like the prophets of old and recognize that we are not worthy of that goodness that he has shown toward us. We don't always put Jesus before all in our lives. In fact, that's probably pretty rare for us. We find other things to care about, other things to fill our time with. We don't always pursue what is right. We often seek out things selfishly to fulfill our coveting wants and lusts. How many of us think always to pray first and to pray for those who are in need before thinking even of our own needs? How many of us would rather hear the word of God than take credit for something that we've done that appears good and virtuous before all the world and praiseworthy? We don't always put Jesus before all, and yet God in his mercy toward us and toward all people, he would make us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. That's why he's preaching to us today. He would fill us with his grace, his love, undeserved, so much so that the testimony of his Son is on our lips, ready to overflow our hearts so that we can share the reason for the hope that we have, so that we can share the comfort that we ourselves have received. And do we not pray often? As we think of our lives before God, do we not ask him in the quietness of our hearts and minds to make us able and willing to put his Son before all people? This is the Christian faith and what it accomplishes in us. This is the tremendous gift of God to us through water and the Word, strengthened with bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. May God use these promised gifts that He Himself has empowered to enable us, to empower us, to put Jesus before all every day, so that we may say with great joy in our hearts, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.